Well, good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. It's like I'm all wired up here. Hopefully everything will go okay. It's such an honor to be here to be able to speak this morning. I have to tell you that we have to pray that it's not my words that are spoken, but that the Holy Spirit will speak to all of us. So why don't we go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for all that you've done in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the Sabbath day, the day that we can come and rest, Lord, from all of our works and enter into that rest that you have prepared for us, Lord. We just ask right now that your Holy Spirit will be among us. Lord, that you will speak your words through me, that we might all hear, Lord, and learn and apply them to our lives, Lord. So we thank you for all these things. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Again, the title of this message, it's the greatest battle that was ever fought. And so maybe that will give you kind of an image of, maybe you think, you know, what this is going to be about. For me, I just want to share with you a little bit about it, especially a topic and a burden that's been on my heart. So let me just go and pose this question to you. What do you think is the greatest battle that was ever fought? Battle between Christ and Satan, the great controversy thing. We are all involved in that. We're playing a role in... Excuse me, is this too loud? Okay. So we're all playing a role in this great controversy theme, right? But that... I wanted to pose the point that that is not the greatest battle that we have to fight. We think of, in Earth's history, so many wars and battles have gone on. We think of the World War, one and then two, Vietnam, Korean War. So many people involved in these battles, and yet that's not the greatest battle that we have to fight. In Revelation, again, we learn about the great controversy that's being fought, a war that was in heaven. All of heaven was involved in this war. Also, we learn about the great battle of Armageddon. Finally, when Satan's army will come and try to take the New Jerusalem. But let me just share a quote with you from the Prophet of the Lord. It's in Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 141. It says, "The Christian life is a battle and a march, but the victory to be gained is not won by human power. The field of conflict is the domain of the heart. The battle which we have to fight, the greatest battle that was ever fought by man, is the surrender of self to the will of God, the yielding of the heart to the sovereignty of love. The old nature, born of blood and of the will of the flesh, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The hereditary tendencies, the former habits, must be given up." So brothers and sisters, what is this greatest battle that we have to fight? It's giving up our own will, yielding self to God that He can work in us. And we all have this battle to fight. And I just want to, if nothing else from this message, I just want us to understand that this is a battle. And it's every day that we are waging this war. And see that it is a battle, it is urgent, but why is this so important? Why do we need to give up self? Let's look at some Bible verses and especially see what Christ has to say about this. Let's turn to Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. It says, "And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. Verse 35, For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, and the gospel's, the same shall save it. So Christ is saying that if we are to come after him, what do we need to do? Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So if we are to be Christ's disciples, we have to make that surrender of self. We have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. And just verse 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Let's hold on to this verse. We're going to come back later and get deeper into this and see what meanings the Lord would have for us to learn this day. But let's hold on to that thought. And let's go again to Luke chapter 14, verse 33. Luke chapter 14 and verse 33. And this is a similar passage to the one we just read, but I want to key in on an important point here. So Luke chapter 14 and verse 33. And this is Christ talking about what it takes to be his disciple. It says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So how much is Christ asking for of us? Everything, right? All. And we're not to hold back anything.
Yeah, but I may say he wants all.
That's right.
What we're dealing here is the battle of the flesh.
That's right. The greatest battle that was ever fought by man. We are fighting this. But Christ is asking us to give up all that we think that we have. And we look around, nothing that we think we own is really ours, is it? We have maybe cars, homes, clothes, even the clothing that we're wearing this morning, it's not really ours. All these things will pass away. But Christ is asking us to give up all that we have. And we might consider some of the things that are standing in the way of us doing this. For many, it might be the love of money, a love of fame, of honor. For some, could be the love of ease, free from responsibility. And this message is especially, it's for all of us, but personally, I was convicted myself to look deep into my heart and see what I am holding on to, what's keeping me from giving all to God, giving all to Christ and following him. So I just hope that we can learn a lesson from this, how we can do this, and through Christ gain the victory. So we have to forsake all. And the question might be, in this battle, how are we to fight? How do we give up ourselves to Christ? Let me just present quickly. I've come up with, I'm just reading the Bible, four ways to do this. And perhaps you see more ways, and I'm connected with all these. There might be other meanings that you can find. But let me say the four C's, okay? To fight this battle against self. In the book of Joshua, we have in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, we have the scene of Joshua standing before the children of Israel, explains to them how they followed after their idols, just as their fathers had before. But he poses this question to them. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And just in the middle of this verse, he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. God, when we think about his love, there's no limit to it. God's love had to be expressed, right? That's why he created heavens and the earth, why he created us. All things were created for his glory. So his love had to be expressed, but it also had to be a choice. God's given us all free will, and the choice to love Him, to serve Him with all of our heart and mind and soul. And so it's that choice that we have each day. Choose you this day whom you will serve. It's a daily battle that we're facing, and this choice has to be made. Are we going to choose to serve Christ, or choose to hold back something? Hold back even if it's a little piece of our heart from Him. We are losing that battle. So we have that choice to make. So that's the first C in fighting this battle. In Galatians 2:20, many of you are familiar with this verse, Paul saying that, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but who? Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Crucifying self, crucifying the flesh. That's the only way, and it's through Christ's power. He's the one who's living in us. The self is dead, but we are inviting Christ to live in our hearts and to stay. And if we are doing this daily, it's a daily surrender. Remember, Paul was saying that I die daily. There's never going to be a point that we can say that, that I'm okay. I've given all to Christ in that one time, and so I don't have to do that again. It's Satan knows this battle, and other places in the Bible, in Ephesians, we know that we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So Satan is warring against us every day as well. We need that armor of God to stand. But Satan is also trying to, if he can't directly attack us with all of his temptations, he's happy as long as we hold on to self, as long as we don't yield all to Christ. Satan is happy with that. Because to him, that will win him the battle over our hearts. So choose to follow Christ each day. Crucify self. Give it to Christ. In Acts chapter 12, verse 9, we have the third C here. And Acts chapter 12, verse 9. Okay. Pardon me, I think I have the wrong verse in Acts there. But in the book of Acts, it talks about abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Cleaving to that which is good. Each day we're to cleave, to hold on to Christ. Because if we're holding on to Christ, we're not going to be thinking about ourselves, are we? We're not going to be thinking about our own thoughts, our own desires. Christ will be all in all to us. And if it's Christ's love that's dwelling in us, then His love will naturally be expressed. And we'll go into that of how the love has to be expressed. Romans, thank you. Romans 12, verse 9. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Thank you. So we have the three C's there. And the fourth, it's going back to Mark chapter 8, and just read, take up our cross daily. Christ is calling us to do this. And it's not that we are to live a life of penitence and trying to work out our own salvation. Christ is calling us to take up the cross that He has prepared for us. He has promised that He will bear our burdens. And what we are carrying is something that is ultimately for our good. So these four things will help us in this battle against self. And it brings to mind one of the hymns in our hymnal, Psalm 328. And it's, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone?" Let me just read the first verse of this. It says, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me." We each have that cross to bear. And the question might be for each of us, we can ask for ourselves, is what is the cross that Christ is given for me to bear each day? And are we taking up that cross daily to follow after Him? So we know that the battle in itself is important. We know why we're fighting. We know kind of how to fight this. But let me share with you the situation that is facing the church in these days. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Let me just read through this. And this is Paul speaking, saying, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, do we believe we're living in the last days? Amen. We look all around us and we know that the signs have already been foretold that Christ is coming soon. It says, "For men shall be lovers of what? Of their own selves." Lovers of their own selves. And we see in the following verses that all the things that love of self springs forth. Let's just read quickly some of these. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Continuing, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's what key in on verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So we have all of these traits that come out from a love of self. And what was it that that Lucifer, what caused that first sin in heaven? It was selfishness, wasn't it? Saying, "I will exalt myself above the stars of heaven. I will be like the Most High." Coveting self and holding on to that. And we'll see what the results of that are. You know, Adam and Eve, they fell through the deception. But at the heart of it, at the heart of every sin is selfishness. And that is in direct opposition to the principle of heaven, which is selflessness. It's giving. And we look at God, we look at His character, and He is selfless. His love is limitless, and we have no better picture of God's love than through Christ, and in His giving His life so that we might have life. But what is this having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof? We know that we have our human natures are selfish, right? And we have to overcome that. We have to have a new birth, right? You know, John chapter 3, verse 3, Christ says, "Except a man be born again, he shall in no wise see the kingdom of heaven," right? Have to be born again, be born of the Spirit and the water, so that self might die. That's the only way that we truly can overcome self. So what is this having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof? Let me share with you another quote. Much Greater Prophecy. The manuscript releases, page 148. And this is something that really, this prompted like me to research and like give this message. And I pray, I know it's the Holy Spirit speaking to me, especially when I saw this. It says, "The new birth is a rare experience in this age of the world. This is the reason why there are so many perplexities in the churches. So many who assume the name of Christ are unsanctified and unholy. They have been baptized, but they were buried alive. Self did not die, and therefore they did not rise to newness of life." Brothers and sisters, when I read this, you know, it's made me cry. It made me look at in my own life and have I truly given everything to Christ? Has self died, or is it still alive? And we think of that picture of someone being buried alive. I mean, we shudder to think about that. You know, a picture might be just scrambling, trying to make it to the surface. And we look at our lives and like how self tries to rise up time and time again. It's just, self is a struggling to regain control. That's why it's a daily process of dying to self. That's why it's a march and a battle. So if you read before in that passage. So, have we truly given everything to Christ? That's the question that I know I'm asking myself, and maybe some of you are asking yourselves as well. And if not, what can we do about this? Let's share one more passage here. And just forgive me if this is like cutting too strong, but I just felt that it was so important for us. We know that we're living in the last days. We have a special work to be done, you know, proclaiming the everlasting gospel. And if we are not sanctified and holy through Christ's power, there's no way that the work is going to be done. Let me share everything too. When we think of holiness, maybe we should think of it as being wholeness to God, giving all of ourselves, you know, all of our heart, our mind, and soul. So let me share this other passage. It's in Christ's Object Lessons, page 118. It says, "There are some who seem to be always seeking for the heavenly pearl, but they do not make an entire surrender of their wrong habits. They do not die to self that Christ may live in them. Therefore, they do not find the precious pearl. They have not overcome unholy ambition and their love for worldly attractions. They do not take up the cross and follow Christ in the path of self-denial and sacrifice. Almost Christians, yet not fully Christians. They seem near the kingdom of heaven, but they cannot enter there. Almost, but not wholly saved means to be not almost, but wholly lost." Brothers and sisters, let's give everything to Christ. Let's give our hearts, our minds, and soul, all of it, and not hold anything back. I struggle with this, you know, every day, just as I'm sure all of us do, like surrendering to Christ, you know, daily. Putting all of our plans and our cares and our desires in His hands, that He can take control of our lives. So it's selfishness that we have to overcome. Yeah. But when we look at Christ, when we see His character, His express image of God, and we see that thought it not robbery to be equal with God, right? The Son of God, equal with God. But what did He do? Did He come to this world in kingly form? You know, did He demand homage and honor to Him? No, He came in the form of a servant, right? He came, He humbled Himself more than anything, more than we can ever imagine. And He gave up everything for us. It's amazing when we look at that beautiful character. Let's just take a closer look at, we've looked at selfishness, what self, the results of that in our lives. Let's look at what the principle of heaven is, selflessness. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40. And perhaps we're all familiar with this passage. Someone, a lawyer, had asked Christ, "What is the greatest commandment?" You know, and this was asked in hopes of tricking him, of stumbling him into saying something that might have been against the law of Moses. Christ said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So just, you can sum up the whole Ten Commandments. We know the Ten Commandments is a transcript of God's character. It's how God is and how his kingdom is established and run. So first, our duty is to God, right? To love him with all our heart and soul and mind. The first and great commandment. And with when we are loving God, when we are loving him with everything, giving him everything, he's promised to fill us with his love, right? But we're not to hold on to that for ourselves. We're to share that. It says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So truly dying to self, it means that we are filled with Christ's character, filled with that spirit of giving, of sharing. And we have so much to share. We've been given so much light. Now we're sharing Christ's love with others around us, sharing the blessings that he's given to us. And all along, all throughout our lives, Christ has poured out his blessings. And we may not imagine or even know the advantages that we have because of Christ leading. He's there with us each step of the way. And so we owe our allegiance, giving everything to him, not out of fear, not out of force, out of love, surrendering the will to the sovereignty of love. And now we'll turn to John chapter 10, verse 11. And so many verses that we could turn to, but this, in my mind, kind of sums up the selfless character of Christ, which is the principle of heaven. John chapter 10, verse 11. Christ is saying, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Christ gave up all so that we might have life. And we might have life more abundantly. And so when we ask ourselves, why are we not giving everything to Christ? Why are we not giving everything to our neighbors, our brothers and sisters around us? That is the true principle of selflessness. That's the principle of heaven. And we are to set our affections on things above and not on things of this earth. For our life is hid with Christ and God. We are dead to self. Isaiah 58 gives us a commission to practice each day the spirit of selflessness and giving. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 58, and let's read verses 6 through 8. And we have Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 8. It says, Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. And those passages, is there any room for self in there? It's giving. It's actively giving that which the Lord has given us. And just as we have a lot of medical students and health professionals, and we have a limited knowledge of physiology and how the body works. And when we think about the heart, it receives so much blood throughout the day. And what would happen if the heart just decided to hold all that to itself? To stop pumping that out, which it had received. Now, would our bodies be able to survive very long if that was happening? Is there any other organ in our body? If our liver was holding on to all that blood and not sending it along, holding on to it, being selfish, then our bodies would not survive. And we are told that we are all members of the body of Christ, right? We've all been given the lifeblood, so to speak, which is His love to share with others. All those around us, we are holding on to that, holding on to the blessings He's given to us, then as a body of Christ, we will not be able to live long doing that way. And that's one more example as well. I can need some audience participation here. All right, I'll have you all take in a deep breath, and then take in another breath. Okay, now you can let it out. Were you able to take in that other breath without breathing out first? It's a simple example. Maybe some of you are able to do that a little bit. But just shows that just as the air that we breathe in, we cannot hold that up inside. We have to give that, right? We have to share that. Likewise, the love that Christ has given to us. And there's one more object lesson or example, and maybe some of you have heard this story, and it just shows us the how self, if we are holding on to it and not letting go, will destroy us. The story of there was this curious monkey, and he was wandering through the jungle and came across this. This piece of candy that he saw, but it was inside this this box that he saw. And all he could do was just reach his hand in. The space was just barely enough to get his hand in. He saw this piece of candy and grabbed onto it, because he really liked candy, of course. But he grabs onto this and he tries to pull it out, right? He's not able to get his hand out. He's trying to pull on it. He's making all this noise and commotion. And little did he know that this was actually a trap that was set for him. And as long as he was holding on to this object of his desire, this piece of candy or whatever it might be in our situation, as long as this monkey was holding on to that, he was not able to free himself from this trap. And we know this trap was set by the hunters, and so we can see what would eventually happen if he was not able to escape. It kept holding on to the object of his desires. Likewise, if we are holding on to whatever it may be in our life, that is, holding on to self, if we're not giving that up, we know that Satan is waging war against us. He's roaming about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But we have the promise that if we have given our lives to Christ, He promised that there is no one, no power that can take us out of His hand. All we have to do is to surrender and let go. Let go of all the things that are holding us back. So why are we holding back all these things from Christ? One, is He asking for us to give up too much? Let's just take a look at some of the things that Christ is asking us to give up, okay? Let me just share another verse in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 26. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. Of course, this was written by Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, who's given that wisdom by God. And so we know that all scripture is given inspiration. So we can see Christ speaking this to us. He says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." So what is Christ asking for? Our hearts. And what is it about our hearts that we are wanting to hold on to so much? We hear that Jeremiah chapter 9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? What Christ is asking us to give up is a heart that is full of sin, of selfishness, deceitful and desperately wicked. So is that something that we want to hold on to? The application, if we had a bad heart, and you know the surgeons were saying that unless you have this operation, you're going to die. Would we, considering the risk that may be involved in that, would we like hold on to that diseased heart, or would we seek for a new one? And we know that Christ is promising to give us just that. So in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 and 20, was promising us to give us something new. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 and 20. And what it says, "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of your flesh, out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." So everything that Christ asked us to give up, He's promised to give us something better. He's promised to give us something infinitely better. Luke chapter 18, verse 29 and 30. Let's just turn that really quickly as we close. So it may seem like Christ is asking for a lot of us to give up, but ultimately it's for our good. Luke chapter 18, verse 29 and 30. And Christ says, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting." So everything that Christ is asking for us to give up, He's promised something infinitely better. Everlasting life. And we can experience that in this world right now, today, we can experience that, the new life. And if we might feel like it's too hard to give up everything, if I look at our lives and see that maybe we have, self maybe has been buried alive, we need not despair, for there is a promise. Christ has given us every opportunity. He's given us all His power that we might overcome. And so all we have to do is just surrender, just make that choice to follow Him each day. Crucify self. Just ask the Lord to take everything. Take up our cross and cleave to Christ. Hold on to Him, not let Him go. Just as Jacob was struggling with Christ as he was fleeing from Esau all through the night, holding on to His garment. Pray that we will do the same. Hold on to Christ so that self will be forgotten and that Christ will be all of our thoughts and minds. So as a close, this has truly been a personal message that I hope it's caused each of us to think about our own personal experience with Christ. And if we have been holding back anything, holding back our hearts completely, we're just giving Him little pieces. Let's give everything to Him. Let's give him all of our heart and mind and soul. And let's ask just an appeal if for those of you who want to serve Christ with everything, if you want to lay everything aside, no matter what it might be, whatever is keeping you from serving the Lord with everything that you have, I just invite you all to stand with me at this time. If that's your desire of your heart, to give everything to the Lord, to stand as we close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we can't imagine or even comprehend your love for us. And Lord, so many times we've held back our hearts, held back some portion of our lives. Lord, I just pray that you will forgive us, Lord, for not surrendering everything to you, Lord. As you promised, Lord, that you will give us strength and power. Lord, you overcame all temptations that we go through each day, Lord, and we can rest in your love and your strength, Lord, to overcome those battles in our lives. Lord, I just pray that you will honor all of the decisions that have been made. Lord, we desire to serve you with all of our heart and mind and soul. We pray that you will give us the strength, Lord, to die daily to self, that you might live in our hearts. Lord, please help us to walk each day in newness of life, Lord, and not hold on to self, but that self might die each day and remain buried. Lord, we do this only through your strength and your power, Lord, and the leading of your Holy Spirit. We thank you so much for this rest you've given us. Please go forth with us throughout this day. Help us to take in this message, Lord, and may it change our lives. And all these things we ask and pray in Christ's precious name. Amen.